Second.
Any corrections? I didn't actually check the times on the... All in favor?
Aye.
Any public comments? I'll make chairman comments real brief. We've got a lot to go over here. Just want to thank everybody for all their hard work preparing for the inspection and for those folks who were able to make it, that all support in the inner team. So with that, we'll go to the presentation for the budget.
Can you get one of the lights for me?
There.
Okay.
Yep, thank you. Does this set the music on?
No. You can hum along though, if you feel free. For everyone who, if anyone doesn't know who I am, my name is Wayne Krieger. I'm the fiscal manager at the Division of Health. I've been with the division for close to 13 years now. I thought what we would do first is go through our revenue budget summary, which is a little more overview from the changes from 2013 to 2014 for a lot of our board members who don't sit on the county board. That way it gives you a better idea of the entire program and how much the programs bring in. Our funding is broken down into the categories of federal funding, state funding, grants, and other. Federal funding, our grants are going down by about 5%. You see the large one there is the HUD lead paint reduction grant. We are in the second year of a three-year grant currently. It's a three-year, $2.5 million grant. At this point, we're ahead of all of our goals for both in production and spending of the grant, and costs have come in less than we had originally budgeted, so we assume that by the end of the three-year period, we'll be way ahead of our goals. The second federal grant that we have is a Coverdale Forensic Laboratory Improvement Grant. This is a scientific grant that we share with the Office of the Medical Examiner in Human Services, and it's going down primarily by the $57,000, primarily because we're not buying any lab equipment this year. Last year we bought a $70,000 piece of lab equipment. State funding, our Kenosha County WIC program, we're showing a $60,000 decrease in 2014. The major portion there is due to caseloads, where they're not, everyone around the state hasn't been hitting their targets, and so the feds have lowered their money that they're funneling through the state. Also, there's a couple of state environmental programs that we contract directly to do. That's going up by $8,000, and that's related to the Radon Information Center grant that we have, where we're the fiscal agent for Kenosha and Walworth counties, and we supply radon information to the public and kids and things like that. In the grant section, see, overall, our grants have increased 27.5% from 2013 to 2014. The first one is the Nurse Family Partnership Program. As you remember, that started last year, kind of a pilot program, taking off, ramping up. And this year, we're looking at close to a $50,000 increase. The biggest portion of that $50,000 increase is they will be fully funding the program supervisor through this grant, whereas last year it was only 75% funded by the grant. Public health preparedness, that's the bioterrorism funding, that is decreasing by about $50,000, and that's due to the expiration of a one-year pilot planning grant that we participated in with the Metro Chicago area. Women's health programs is increasing by $280,000. Biggest portion of that, in addition, is related to our regional fiscal agent status that we have. We have we handle the fiscal oversight of four other main agencies that provide women's health services all the way from Kenosha to the Mississippi River, and then also up to the Milwaukee area. And then it also, that grant also funds our expansion of our women's health programs, like the addition of the wellness center clinic at the WIC offices. Consolidated contract, that is our core public health funding that for the maternal child health programs, the childhood-led prevention immunization programs. There's a slight increase there. Suicide prevention, there's a substantial increase also. And that's because we were able to piggyback on our funding from the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program through the Medical College of Wisconsin with a state grant that they picked out that Kenosha was one of the areas that really needed help. The Kenosha Life Course Grant, that is the Healthy Kenosha Initiative that is running in, we're showing a decrease there because the current grant we're operating under ends during 2014. There's talk of extending that or additional grant funding come, but at this point we're not sure when that'll happen or what the amount will be. The Transform Wisconsin grant, that was a new grant that was ended during the year in 2013. That's why we're showing a 100% increase from 2013 to 2014, because this is looking at adopted budget of 2013. And our tobacco control funding is remaining the same for the year. The other category, the first line item is the decrease, potential decrease in the payment to the Division of Health by the City of Kenosha for our chemist salary. If you haven't heard, Carlton Cowie, who has been our forensic chemist for the last couple of years, has left employment with Kenosha County. He has continued to assist us through the transition period, but he is now, he took a position at with the State Lab of Hygiene as their chief of forensic science unit. And then, so basically the decrease that we're seeing in revenue is related to the agreement we have with the city that they pay 50% of that salary and benefits of that position. So we're expecting a new hire to come in at a much lower salary. The Kenosha Unified School Nursing contract is showing a 6% decrease. This is also due to staff turnover. Our agreement with Unified is that we fully burden the contract with all direct service costs plus administrative overhead that's allocated to the program. And we've had three school nurses leave the leave employment in the past year. So that we've got three new staff coming in at lower wages once again. Our service fee areas for our environmental section is going up by $55,000. The biggest portion of this is related to the transfer of sanitarian staff from the County Planning and Development Division into the Division of Health. With that transfer, we are bringing on another program into the Division of Health, and if it's called the POTS program, but Mark can explain what it actually is, if you would like to do that.
That's just on-site wastewater program for septic systems and holding tanks. They originally have two inspectors for that program, and because of the decrease in building within the county, you know, new homes and that, we're able to bring them on board to utilize their services as a sanitarian for the health department. So we'll be cross-training them in some of our programs, and hopefully in within the near future, making them full-time with a specific area of their own, too, within Kenosha County.
Nursing service fees, we're also looking at an 8% increase. This would be for reimbursable services, primarily Medicaid services like dental varnishing, immunizations, prenatal care coordination. And then also in the laboratory area, we're anticipating a decrease of in service fees of about $10,000, more in line with what we're actually bringing in now. You can see our revenue from other sources for next year is going up by 6%. The City of Kenosha contribution is going up by 12.9%, and our county levy is going up by 9%. The majority of that increase is related to the transfer of staff from the County Planning and Development Services. Total revenue is going up $500,000, up to $7.1 million for 2014. Is there any questions on that general section, or you want to keep going? If you can, oh, it's a little small.
You can do full page. See the full screen?
Full screen mode.
Go down the tree.
Oh, okay.
There.
There we go. Yeah, I don't know if it's any bigger or not.
Get rid of all the stuff.
The excess around it. Our full-time equivalent employee changes for 2014 have proposed an increase of two FTEs. One of those FTEs is related as a carryover items from 2013. That's the addition of that suicide program, prevention program that I mentioned before, as well as a one-year grant that we had received for a dismantling racism objective. And then our 2014 budget, proposed budget modifications include the two sanitarians that are transferred from planning and development, and then an elimination of one laboratory technician position, which you'll see farther down in the expenses that we needed to eliminate a technician because the volume of work was not there anymore through the drug testing that we were doing for our sister agencies in Children and Family Services and then Drug Court. Personnel changes are increasing 6.6%, up $270,000. You can see the amount of each personnel change related to the FTE changes above, as well as our net salary increases for the year of about $23,000. Health insurance increases about $32,000, which essentially that is one new employee picking up family coverage. Family coverage is $20,000+, and then a change of another employee. Retirement increases of almost $11,000. And then FICA, life insurance, and workers' comp increases. In the contractual changes category, total changes are $12,590, which is a 12% increase. The biggest portion of that is we are increasing our professional fees to help offset the Department of Human Services with our planning and evaluation services. They're the group that helps us look for grants and write grants and have been crucial for us obtaining all the grants that we have. There's also increases in motor vehicle maintenance related to the addition of the planning and development staff, and then increases in equipment maintenance just due to actual costs that we're seeing currently. Our refrigerators and freezers that we have in the clinic have been purchased in previous years under grant funds, and now they're not under warranty anymore, so we're having to do more preventive maintenance on the equipment. The supplies category, increasing by $26,745, which is an increase of 7%. I won't go through each line item. Biggest changes are mileage and travel is decreasing by $11,400 due to decreases in reallocation of some grant funding. Lab and medical services are increasing $37,000. This is due to the utilization that we've seen recently, as well as adding on the new WIC Wellness Center. Other increases in staff development for grant-funded positions, funded through the grants of $4,500, and there's almost $1,000 increase in levy funding staff development. That has to do with the bringing in the sanitarians. As Mark mentioned, we need to train them in all of our vast program areas, from restaurants to hotels to grocery stores and weights and measures, programs that they have not had any experience in previously. Our fixed charges are increasing 8.3%, $24,296. Big change there is the increase of $17,000 in building occupancy. What that is related to is actually our rent that we pay to We're seeing Kenosha Community Action Agency for the WIC Wellness Center at their site. That's $19,000. The actual rent that we pay for this building site is decreasing by $2,000 for next year. And then also our equipment lease and rental, that account is going up by $8,700. That's because we're replacing one of our older minivans that we have that our sanitarian staff use with a new vehicle that we need once again for the planning and development guy who's coming in. Purchase services, which those are grant-funded services primarily, is increasing 7.2%. Just to highlight some of the big changes, once again, the WIC program reductions, $48,000 here. The Kenosha Life Course decrease of $55,000. Suicide prevention is going down by $6,000, and that's just a reallocation of funding within the grant. They were doing some strategic planning in 2013, which has now been completed. And then the big increase of the Regional Fiscal Agent for Women's Health Programs of $238,000. Capital outlay, we're showing a 100% decrease. That was, as I mentioned before, the $70,000 piece of equipment that we had purchased for the lab. And then in our cost allocation for interdivisional contracts, you can see there is a $90,000 decrease in drug testing services being performed through the lab. So that's the reason why we needed to eliminate one of the laboratory technicians. That person was able to move to another position within the Division of Health. She is now a public health technician working in the clinical operations. Then there's only a small change for an increase in the prevention service program. Total expenditures are increasing by the 7.6%, up $502,000. Revenue changes. We touched about some of these before. Just the big thing, the suicide prevention increases, the WIC program decreases, tobacco control staying the same, bioterrorism decrease. Health check, there's a $20,000 increase in that service. That's a reimbursable service that we provide through Medicaid. It involves the actual well child visits that we've been performing, as well as dental varnishing. Some of the other increases and decreases, the nurse family partnership increase, decrease in the Coverdell grant, the women's health grants increase. Restaurant licenses, we're moving it up $12,000 based upon current utilization, what we're seeing for restaurants coming in. There you see the Potts County sanitary system fees of $44,200. Prenatal care, which is a Medicaid reimbursable service, we're seeing an increase there of $30,000. And then total increases of $426,000, which leaves our levy increase of $76,000 of 9.4%. And then I did a small county levy savings recap on the bottom, which it wasn't in your original packet, the entire thing, but to show all the pluses and minuses of all the expense categories above, where we came out to hit the $75,955,000 increase. But if the part that I added is the amount that we, when we were looking and working with Central Finance on transferring the sanitarians to the Division of Health, they were costing the county $154,000 in levy funding. So essentially, we have actually saved the county $78,000 by transferring those two employees to the Division of Health. And is there any questions on expenses or revenues? Otherwise, the only other thing to cover is the clinical fees and for approval in there. Sure, go ahead.
I feel like I'm wasting your time, but you've got an expense in here for campground license. I'm on parks. Where's the campground? Is that at the Kringle Nature Center or what?
Well, it's a revenue item for campground licenses.
For what?
Where's the campground?
We license all the campgrounds throughout Kenosha County. So that would be Bond, Abbey Acres.
It's for Bong?
We license Bong, yeah.
Oh, we license Bong.
We also inspect them, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and then there's a few rec ed camps, recreation camps, summer day camps that we also license during the summer. That revenue is in that line item also.
That's state and private. I was thinking that the county owned, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Clarify that.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. And the only other thing to briefly go through is our proposed clinical services for 2014. Once again, last year we instituted our sliding fee scale for all clinical services based upon the federal poverty level limits. We are continuing to do that. The federal poverty levels are updated on an annual basis. I think they're updated in March or April time frame each year. There's only two items in particular that we have actually changing the fees. One is an additional fee that we're charging. The other one that we're changing is this urine analysis fee. It's not used very often at all. It's basically, an example would be someone coming in and wants to see if their son or daughter has anything in their system. So we get very few of those tests on a walk-in basis. And the other fee is in our family planning women's health services. We just wanted to put a fee out there for the product that we have been distributing, which is reproductive health kits with medications. And if there are no more questions, I guess we'd be looking for a motion to.
Does anybody else have any questions?
This is probably a little bit more for Gwen, but with the changes with getting more people off of Medicaid, what do you see on the numbers with the health checks and the vaccines? Those numbers should probably be going down because more people would be on regular insurance, so to say.
We do anticipate that the number of clients will be moved towards private insurance or marketplace exchange kind of insurance. But I don't know if we're going to factor it into what we're going to do next year, because there's still that process of getting everybody on and still being a safety net for the community. Even now, as we see, even though we know that clients should be going getting their vaccines at their provider, they're still coming in because of the miscommunication.
And we
still do them and giving them information about their primary provider, but we don't turn anyone away because of the service that's needed.
Yeah. 2015, we'll probably see more of that change.
I would hope so. As the process becomes more clear, not only for us, but for the clients, I would hope that services would decrease, but I'm hopeful.
Just to sort of piggyback to that, Kenosha County, we have not have enough primary care providers in our community. And that was one of our driving forces of adding the wellness clinic, which is on above the WIC clinic. So we're co-located where people come in, women, MCH, maternal child health issues might present. And so we're looking to bridge the medical community during this period of transition and probably regrowth, rebuilding, as we move to the marketplace, the affordable care. And so again, providing that safety net. Immunizations might go down, but we might be providing more dental varnishing, more maybe women's health issue, health care, as this transition occurs.
Okay. Other questions? Otherwise,
I'm
Move approval of the budget as presented.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I just have a few things. First of all, thank you, Board, for approving our budget. And second, also want to thank Dr. Gerlach for joining our team. Even though this is her first Board of Health visit, it is certainly not her first duty at the Health Department. She is our immunizations medical director, and we've had her hit the ground running, providing her the information for orientation, but also behind the scenes, she's been doing a great deal of work for us. And appreciative of that. So thank you for joining the team. I hope you'll enjoy it. And then my third thanks is to my executive management team, which is Gwen, Perry Bry, Mark Melotic, and Wayne Kruger, that these three individuals have been instrumental on our health department transitioning into a team of excellence and of revenue generation, of coming up with very creative ideas, moving forward with technology and technology advancement, getting a better handle of wrapping our arms around our population and improving our health and building the skill sets in our workforce. So I want to thank the three of them for their diligence and their dedication to public health and make that known to the Board of Health. Our site visit, which Dr. Foster had mentioned, went extremely well. I'm happy to say that I would say we got a 98% on the test, and I don't think they can not acknowledge us with the certification, so we're really just waiting for that sheepskin piece of paper saying that we're accredited. It'll go before the national board early November, and so mid-November we should see the national announcement. We should be receiving our piece of paper. And we already have our all staff a meeting for planning for our community notification of acceptance of accreditation. So we're all moving forward. Just to kind of give you an idea of what the accreditation site visit results meant, we did receive the report. There were 97 measures that they reviewed us on. Dr. Foster was there. And several other people tested, can attest to. 87 of those 97 we fully met, which I think is outstanding. This is, you know, early stages. There are only 14 other health departments that have received accreditation. So 87 of the 97 we fully met. 9 of the 97 we largely met, and 1 we slightly met. And the slightly met was developing a QI quality improvement program, plan, and team, which we only just started really getting good at working on with our team within the last year or two. So it's a new initiative for the health department, and I fully expected, I have no problem with slightly meeting that because that's all part of our strategic team, our community improvement team. All of this is looking at quality improvement measures for our health department. So that's why I say we got a 98% on the test. Maybe it was 99%, but you know, close enough. And I just wanted to share that with the board. Wayne mentioned about Carlton. We were very sad about him leaving, but very happy for him. He moved on to be the director of the forensic lab for the state of Wisconsin. And he continues to be a consultant for us. We do have a very qualified person that we're anticipating will take the reins. She's currently working as the forensic chemist at this time under the tutelage and guidance of Carlton. She did her final, she's been working on the final steps of her master's program in forensic chemistry and did her internship this past summer. That's how we found her. And she will graduate this December, so she'll be fully credentialed and will be qualified to be able to be to master and manage an ASCLAD forensic lab. And Carlton is staying on. He comes in an hour or two during the night on the weekends, been moving her through some of the methodology of the testing of the laboratory tests and answering any questions, still working with her with the machinery. And so we really were very fortunate. He wanted to do it free. I told him, no, we can't do it for free. We had to pay him.
I told him he could do it for free.
But I think, you know, since we're with the credentialing and all of that, and we really needed to be paying him for providing this consultation service for us. And we did, we were able to have the dollars with our Coverdell and other areas that we had funding available. Dr. Foster, you had a question regarding adult lead poisoning. All of our adult cases are tracked by the state. That's as far as it goes. We provide all the education. We still, you know, do some internal assessing, but there really isn't any funding available to do anything else. It's just, they just track the numbers. That's it. That's as far as it goes. And there's no registry or anything for adults. It was mentioned about our community health team that we funding is increasing, and the clients, I think we're nearing 100, if not exceeding 110 of our nurse family partnership and our prenatal care coordination. So you can see how we're recouping revenue through prenatal care reimbursement through Medicaid for those clients. Grants, just some updates. We had a summit, a baby summit, for our Life Course Initiative, which was just a week or two ago. We had the Job Center was inundated with moms with big bellies and strollers and lots of kids, and put them through all kinds of trainings, like a conference. We handled it like a conference, and they went to different workshops, and we really liked that method. And then we also had a drawing for them to receive portable cribs and car seats and that. Our Transform Wisconsin hosted a bus tour of the school gardens. Some of you might have attended that. Our suicide prevention received a Man Therapy grant, so we'll be distributing those products from Man Therapy. That's just a resource grant, and this is an evidence-based program out of Denver. We did start our self-harm death analysis review team, and so also, the suicide prevention hosted a clergy summit, which we had 50 attendees. It was the first in the state of Wisconsin. Our prescription drug monitoring program, we're going to increase awareness among and educate medical staff. So you might be hearing that. Those of you in the medical profession might be hearing it through your institution. They also held two assessing and managing suicide risk trainings for mental health professionals, and 73 attended that. A couple positions open. Other than that, things are wonderful on our end. Thank you.
I have a question. I had a doctor's appointment this morning. As I was waiting, at least two phone calls came in and asking for flu shots, and they said they didn't have any. Mm-hmm. And they most of them asked too if they could go to a kiosk.
Yeah.
And they said they don't have any. Is there a vaccine shortage?
Well,
Aurora Clinic.
Well, because of the insurances, people now have to go to their providers.
Right.
If their providers did not order enough, maybe some insight.
They couldn't tell when they were going to get it in either.
Okay. Did you order more than usual?
We usually work with with more central, so I don't know if it's more of a distribution thing that our clinic, but yeah, this morning we have plenty of kids, under 18, state, but not adult private insurance, so I'm sure it's a matter of just redistributing.
Yep, I'm sure it's going to be system building.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time because the public, we're used to going to their particular area. We used to order quite a bit, manhandling the public. We do not order it as much because individuals are required to go to their provider now. Or potentially a pharmacy is another place that they go to.
I just thought it was odd.
We have how much?
I don't know how many we have, but probably at least 500 doses. Oh.
So we still have some, but we're the safety net.
Right.
We're there for people that can't access or should access through other places. But thank you for letting me know, because we might now be getting people that have high risk factors that are compromised, that really need to get it right away, and we might be receiving those calls because they can't access through the provider.
And can you do that then? If they can't access through the provider, can you give it here? If their provider's out or?
Financially, how would that work, Wayne? Would we collect a fee from them and then they would get reimbursed?
Right. We would provide them with a receipt that they could submit to their insurance for reimbursement.
Now, Cindy, would you be able to get more vaccine if you needed it?
We could put a call in. We've done that throughout the years, and often we can, as long as it's available, but sometimes at a higher cost, correct, Wayne?
Right. Yeah, the last week, I believe I had gotten an email that they still have vaccine available. So.
Again, you know, everybody's trying to find their way in this new system, and we're trying to be proactive on anticipating how to support the medical community and the public that can't access the services. It's a crystal ball. I wish I had one.
And it's really hard to gauge how much is going to be out in the community, how much we should have on stock, because we don't want it to expire here either.
So. Why? Years ago we used to provide it, and you had to buy it up front. You had to order it 9 months in advance.
Correct.
And so we had too many years where not very many people decided they needed it. And that's part of why I was asking is I have no clue if the hospital system is planned for that.
No clue. I mean, I'm just a little fish in our I'm assuming that we're going to be able to get it, you know, system-wide and just our clinic. But they're really pushing it, too. And we've had a great demand and gave off lots of shots in the last couple of weeks. So. I mean, it might just be a, you know, just a dip.
I think they did a phone call to patients as well, like an automated phone system, Aurora did, I believe.
Okay.
I got a message like that.
I did.
So I'm wondering if maybe that's why, you know, you're out already, if there's just been an Aurora clinic. Maybe they did this and increased awareness and more people got the shot.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would be shocked if they don't get it in the next year. So.
Okay.
We're usually pretty good because they get shipped.
They just have to.
We typically have surveyed the nursing homes too every year, and I don't know that we've done that yet and whether they've received their vaccine and had it. But those were through the years where vaccine was lagging, wasn't arriving. But historically though, people panic when they can't get it and they know they need to have it. So, you know, we'll notify our NODs just to let them know. They'll have to kind of calm the waters until the vaccine becomes available in our community, or let them know that it can come through us, but they don't always have the money to put up front.
Right. I suspect you're right, because I got that automated call too from Aurora Network,
and
this wasn't an Aurora doctor I was at this morning, so they probably were calling because they've got the call, and they were saying we don't have any, we don't know where to get any, and I know bottom of the list asked, can we go to the kiosk at Northside Big Business, they don't have it either. So I just wonder if there's a shortage.
But thanks for bringing that up.
Any other questions?
Excuse me. How many women and children are now losing their WIC benefits in the country?
Losing their WIC benefits that currently have that? The ones that are already in the system still have their WIC benefits.
Okay.
Are you referring to what the marketplace is coming up, or are you referring to the shutdown of the federal government?
Both.
WIC is still open for business. We're looking for any backup plan, should it go much longer. The second part, there hasn't been any conversation about where they are in the poverty level, if they're going to fall at a point of losing their benefits. So I think that's still, you know, we're still waiting to hear on that.
Other questions? Corporation Council?
Nothing to report.
Any other business? Any motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.